are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, think about the concept of friendship, right? At its basic level, it needs two or more people to function, right? At what point do you then consider someone a friend for you to consider them that, right? When do you look at someone and think, I know this person, I think pretty well. It's no longer just an acquaintance. They're now my friend. We can't know everything about someone, that's granted, after one conversation with them. So the same principle applies to spiritual friendship with Christ. When do we say we are grown now, we can call him our friend? Join us as we are going through the series, Growing in Christ. And as we introduce the segment, we'll be led out by Pastor Mutakwa, who joins us now online. Muruti, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon, moderator. I am well. Compliment of the season.
Ah, same to you. Same to you, Mfunisi. You've already started, eh? You are there already.
Sure.
You're not wasting any time. No compliments to you too, Muruti. Trusting that we find you well.
Yeah, I'm well.
Ah, we praise God. We praise God. Thank you for joining us and being available to take us through this series right here. We want to understand, you know, a unique principle of Christian life is that it begins with death, which is kind of contra, because you would think things must start with life and then close off with death. Help us understand what this concept really means.
Thank you so much. We'll just give a short prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank you this afternoon for giving us this opportunity to discuss this topic. We pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us. For this is our asking in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Moderator, there are two interconnected concepts to what you have asked. Where you talk about life beginning by death, first of all, we have what we call the substitutionary death of Christ for human sin on the cross of Calvary. Then we have the second part where we talk about death to self, living a life in obedience to God. So without the actual death of Christ on the cross, the next death that we are going to talk about is not visible. That is why the Bible says in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, this begotten Son, Jesus, was to die on the cross to get back our freedom. Sin in this context demanded the cost of the life of the Son of Man.
Okay.
That is why in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are several chapters that talk about how Jesus died on the cross after he lived a sinless life. But what we must understand is that that death of Christ on the cross was to save you and me and the listeners. But then that salvation is that aspect which he talks about death to self, where you now say this new beginning cannot begin without death. But it's not a physical death like the one Jesus suffered on the cross. No.
It begins with death, and our life begins with the death of Christ on the cross. Marvelously put. When this new life begins at death, what does it look like for us?
Well, what that means is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary requires a personal response. So when you describe, I mean, when it is described as death to self or the new birth experience, this is a spiritual surrender, which is very essential for one to grow in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I quote, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who die, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Mm-hmm. Let me quote another scripture. Romans 6, verse 6 and 7 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the board of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. What do we mean here? What is the meaning of self-death? It is accepting Jesus as your Savior. When he comes into you, he eliminates the sinful desire that you have in you. He begins to live in you. So that part is what we call, he has died, is done away with. When we talk about a physical death, when we are told someone is dead, it means they stop living. They go into the grave. Mm. They can't do anything. In this context, it means the old life is put aside. There is a new life that comes, which is the life of Jesus Christ, where you become obedient to the service. This, in the context of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is further denoted by one getting baptized publicly, like Jesus was baptized. In the, they die with Christ in the sense that they go in the watery grave to put away that page of the old life, and they begin to walk anew. So that kind of getting into water and being made into water is symbolized as a death that brings a new life. It's like a seed that is put in the soil. It first dies, a maize seed first dies, and then a new life germinates.
And then only then a new life germinates. Now, when you talk germination, it then means, usually I'm thinking of plants, right, where once you see it germinating, that's an identifier of growth happening. And the next thing, it starts growing even more than beyond that germination. What does it then mean to grow in Christ as Christians? What does that look like?
To grow in Christ simply means, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. To grow in Christ is to deepen one's relationship with Jesus by becoming more like him in character. This becomes a process where you surrender to God's will. This involves cooperating with the Holy Spirit through daily practices like prayer, studying the Bible, worship, and so forth. So growth begins with accepting God's gift of salvation through Jesus. So you surrender your will to the will of God. What happened? The ultimate goal now is to grow in Christ, is to have freedom in Christ, to move away, to get transformed, to replace the old thoughts, the old deeds, and to enjoy peace in Christ. Then you walk like Christ walked.
Then you do it like Christ would have done it himself. What should we do when we feel the effects of our past lives, or when we struggle with the same sins that we thought we had done before and we were overcomers on? What should we do, you know, when we have those things before we accept Jesus Christ? How do we deal with that?
That one is a tough one. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? He is talking like someone who is in a competition. He has undergone complications and difficulties, discouragements, but those don't bother him. What bothers him is the goal that must be met.
Okay.
So the old life should not bother a Christian. Should be a page which is put in Jesus himself.
Okay.
What is required is to move towards the prize, towards the mark. It will not be easy. Like Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Meaning, when we are struggling with those things, when we feel the effects of the past, when we struggle with the same things, the weaknesses and so forth, we look to God who can create a way where there is no way. Like Isaiah says, in a desert where we don't expect water, he will create water there. Our hope is in him. So whilst we think of that, we must entirely focus on him. He will guide us and lead us despite all that feeling that we shall have.
Despite it all, we can be overcomers. Thank you so much for that, Mfundiswami. And when you consider this, is there a difference, though, to consider this idea of growth between, I don't know what we would call this grace that we've freely given, and what the world then deems cheap grace? But I mean, is there a difference between free and cheap? What's the difference?
No, there is a difference, moderator, a very big difference.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I think let me add verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, when we talk about free grace, refers to God's unmerited love. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. There is nothing we did, no work. It is his favor. It is a gift that comes to a person that's not even expecting anything. Someone comes and says, here is a gift for you. So now, in the context of this one, Jesus gives it, received thoroughly through you having faith in Jesus, not earned by any human work. The cost is that free grace is given to the recipient, and then the recipient accepts Christ. The outcome is that it leads to genuine growing relationship with Christ, marked by a desire to keep his commandments and follow his example out of love. Jesus comes in you. Then you will keep the commandments because it is Jesus who is guiding me. As opposed to cheap grace, the moderator. Cheap grace is essentially what we say, self-absolution. It doesn't involve true surrender to God. It treats Christ's sacrifice as something that is not important. Its effect is that forgiveness is preached without requiring repentance, provided you have just known that there is God. There is no need for confession. There is no need for us to have a transformed life. It is actually what they call the grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus. It excuses sin instead of providing power over it. What is this result? There, you don't have faith. You just become a nominal Christian, like the rest of the world. You just say, God is too gracious. He can't destroy sinners. When you know that the Bible says, if you love me, you keep my commandments.
Yeah.
So now, when Jesus comes in you, you will keep God's commandment. That means you are saved by grace. If you talk about cheap grace, commandment means nothing to you. You are more important. What you do can earn you salvation. This is the very opposite to free grace.
The very opposite to free grace, indeed. I want us to close off, Pastor, just considering here this idea of growth. And to grow is to grow into Christ and to be more like him. I'm reminded of, I think it's 1 Corinthians 11:1, which says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We need to be following him as our example, this Jesus. But is it something practical, though, to look to him? I mean, he's a perfect being, never sinned, says the scriptures. How can he be our example? I mean, surely we don't even come close. And the Bible even says, if we say we are not sinners, we are liars.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. In fact, when we say we are not sinners, we are right, that's very correct. Because the concept is there, that is there, is that we must entirely depend on him as our example. John chapter 13, mm-hmm. verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." This is at the time when the disciples were about to eat the loaves.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for that clarity. Pastor's line dipping again there. But I think we had gotten the gist of the lesson. Yes, Mfundis.
Yeah. Am I there?
Yeah, you're back. Your line had cut off again.
Yeah, someone was trying to interrupt by calling.
Oh.
So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked." So it's very practical to do like that, because how can you be called a Christian when you don't imitate Jesus, when you don't follow Jesus? Here, we may not achieve perfection because we are sinners, but we will strive towards perfection until we reach that goal. Jesus as the human example. Christians believe that Jesus lived a fully human life and faced real temptation, yet lived without sin. Even ourselves can get to the same situation. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to make us follow Jesus, to make us make Jesus as an example. The goal here, moderator, is not an immediate perfection. The goal is to progressively grow in character, to be more like him. Paul says he dies daily, meaning we must pray daily. We must consecrate our lives daily to him. We must call upon daily, his name daily. So even if we have not seen him, by faith, we know that he lives, and we will be like him, because Hebrews chapter 11 talks about faith. In fact, without faith, we cannot be Christians. Thank you so much.
Amen and amen. Without this faith, we will not be able to be Christians at all. Thank you, Furiswami. May God bless you. And we thank you once again for today's lesson. Stay well until we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. That is our pastor joining us there as we talk to him regarding growth in Christ. Are you growing? Are you winning? How is it going on your side? Let us know as we study together God's word.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to back.